Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody
doing? What are
doing?
You doing? Did you hear that?
I like painting with sound.
Yeah, but it's not
painting.
Mike
has a migraine and
if
you're
you
drilling.
Don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, I got a migraine today.
We shall rebuild him.
I got a migraine. Put in the hip. Put in the new brain. And Oscar, now one more. Come over here a little bit with that. All right, there we go. Yep, take a little more. A little more stomach. A little more stomach off. Thank you. Thank you.
I picture that in one of those old 1930s operating theaters with like huge marble walls and people 30 feet in the air watching, like in Seinfeld where they drop the junior man. It's very refreshing.
Right. I had to bring it in to fix the chair.
Oh, the Rofo chair.
He called me in a panic, by the way. If you're listening to this Friday, on Wednesday, Rofo broke my chair.
Well, did he break it or just lower it?
No.
No.
What's the best way to say? Okay, so this chair is probably rated.
Can we, before you talk about the chair, can we just talk about your drill for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Can we hear it one more time, please?
Sure. Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, Oscar.
Yes.
Mine's bigger.
Yours actually sounds smaller.
Does it sound smaller?
Yeah, you don't have enough RPM.
Is that because I'm not turning it up enough?
Like it's struggling. Now, I think
that might be a dental drill.
Yeah, that must be more like a dental drill. Sandpaper? It's like we're at Lowe's. That's the one.
That's a good one.
That's it. That sounds better than mine.
Thank you very much. What a great idea to do that on this show.
Yeah, the migraine show.
Thanks so much.
Hey, if you like, Mike, we can get a microphone and I can just bounce a basketball.
So how is the chair after Rofo broke?
The chair is well. You know what, Mike? You know someone cares when they call you in a panic. And his name is Rob Ford after he's been accused of breaking something.
Well, you need a 30-second setup for those who did not catch Wednesday's show.
How dare you?
Well, I know it happens. If people listen out of sequence, they listen on their own schedule.
On Wednesday's show, I arrived after having to take Friday off, and Rofo sat in my chair on Tuesday, and...
You took Tuesday off.
I took Tuesday off. I apologize. And he... When I sat in my chair, and everybody's been through this at the office, at their house, at home, or... Wherever their stationary workstation is, when someone F's with your chair, you know, right?
Right. Yeah. You know what? It's even worse in a car.
In a car.
Oh, I hate it.
But you also, if you've sat in that one particular chair for some time, you know when something's been adjusted or something's broken. Mm-hmm. Or something now is loose because the gentleman who sat in it, as Mike said so eloquently, hurls himself into whatever seating apparatus he's going to sit in.
And this is a top flight chair. This is not just your
this
average chair.
This chair I think, was, and I'm talking, so do adjust for inflation. In 2001, this chair was probably bought.
Okay.
Maybe I could discuss it in song. Do you think?
Please.
I'd love it.
So almost $1,000 in 2001.
I think we can do it. All right. Let's see what happens. All right. Here we go.
Great cats.
Meow.
Well, Rofo's got a big, big fat ass. Rob Ford's got a big ass, and he looks so right. Well, he picked his big ass in the chair. He's got no hair. Rofo's got a big ass in there tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Ford, we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Ford, we call him Rofo. Well, he found a little girl, she's got big old boobs. Well, he found a little girl, she got big old boobs. Well, he found her big old boobs that night. Now he's feeling oh so right, but it didn't mean he won't break old Oscar's chair.
I'm sorry, that's it.
I liked it.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not quite myself.
When Rofo called.
He sat down, Mike, and made an inadvertent anal adjustment to Oscar's chair.
So he broke it.
Yeah, he adjusted it using gravity and not any of the actual levers.
So there's a lever, and then he just smashed it down, and it compressed.
He accelerated his ass into the chair at 9.8 meters per second per second.
If we hit a lever, if you and I hit a lever on a chair, and it's at an upper seated position,
yeah,
it's going to smash down. We're not going to have the leg strength to prevent our weight from crushing it. So that's exactly what happened, right?
All I know is that if you sit down in the chair and you hit the lever and it's you or me, it's like the Disney ride Tower of Terror.
Right. It's more because the Tower of Terror will suspend you at the bottom.
Oh, that's right. This is just a flat ending.
So what it's more like is an elevator failing is what it's like.
Get Otis on the phone.
There's a concussive... crash at the end
you
of this thing.
You get CTE from adjusting chairs.
I've broken chairs by adjusting them where it's like, oh, this is fantastic. Let me hit this here. Oh, my God. And then your spine compresses, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
And Oscar, meanwhile, will say, you know, he adjusted and went straight down. Oscar will gently, delicately hit it, and it'll... So that's what happened, right? He smashed it down because he had to adjust it because you're shorter than he is, and you sit more up in the air, and then he came in with his torso that's the size of a half of Texas, and he had to... I have to tip this down almost to ground level, so his massive frame...
Literally, Houston,
God,
we have a problem.
It's not fat, though. It's mostly skeletal.
It's
what are
his
bones? He's not a Tyrannosaurus.
No, it's just he's
with his little and effective arms.
Yeah. Do you call it Tyrannosaurus or Tyrannosaurus?
Let's call the whole thing off. He's not a Brontosaurus. He's not a Stegosaurus. He's a Rob Fortosaurus. And he's going to break that chair.
He's certainly not a Velociraptor.
Am I right, ladies?
There you go.
So he calls me. Rofosaurus called me and said, hey, and he hear him out of breath. He's panicked. He said, did I break your chair? And
I was it the same? Hold on. Let me ask this. And this is a callback to another previous show.
I swear to God, that's his new nickname, Rofosaurus.
Rofosaurus. I love it. Right.
Do you have a dinosaur sound effect?
Yes. Yeah, somewhere.
So when
next time he talks.
Yeah, was it the same voice we got when he brought in the zip unit? And he said, Oscar, I got this from your truck. Something might have happened to the knob.
No, he didn't even say that. He said the knob is loose. Watch out. He didn't say he broke the knob and that's why it's loose.
He was vague. He was incredibly vague about it.
So the chair has been adjusted.
Right.
The drill is in. But
the Rofosaurus.
Rofo says to me, he goes, I'm really sorry, man. And I said, dude, honestly, it was just kind of the shock of walking in, starting the show, and realizing, this chair is completely busted.
Yeah, gone.
I was like,
here's the sound of Rofo making his way over to Oscar's chair. All right, he approaches it gently. Now he's having a little snack. Right. He's having like a little chip before he sits down, and now he's just breathing.
Yeah.
Now he's
and I actually have his music, Mike.
Yep. Here he comes. He's looking at it, deciding what to do.
Oh, the chair!
Now he's sitting on it. He's sitting on it right now.
Don't touch the lever! Don't touch the lever!
Now he's upset.
This poor guy.
Rofosaurus. The very dangerous Rofosaurus. Now he's running. He's about to run out of the studio. Very scared right now. He is so upset. Now he's trying to sit in it again. That's the sound of Max screaming. All right.
The amazing thing is the Rofosaurus was nearly extinct, but we were able to find a drop of his blood in the mosquito that was encased in an ice cream cone. We were able to replicate it. No expense was spared.
Spared no expense. Kids!
Kids!
Anyway, Richard Attenborough.
You do a great Richard Attenborough, the actor who played him.
Well, here's why. Because I noticed it when I saw Jurassic Park, which was the biggest movie of its day.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Richard Attenborough is eating ice cream. And because he is not aware of his nose, which, by the way, a lot of old men aren't.
Right.
And when I say that, they're not aware of the sounds that the nose makes. They're not aware of the plethora of hairs that are jutting out of the nose.
Yes.
And so when you saw Richard Attenborough, who was doing a scene and he's eating ice cream and he's going, spent no expense. Spend no expense, kids. Just like when Rofo gets to be 70 years old, yeah. he'll have hair coming out of like ears.
Yeah,
and
none on his head. None right, on his head, exactly. but plenty and out of his head. And also, I think with Jurassic Park, what you had is one of the earliest movies that really relied on a 5.1 surround sound mix.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Because it was amazing sound with everything
you
happening.
You hear it everywhere.
But what's sad is when you mix down the ice cream scene, the right. center front channel is all nose. It's isolated. It's. And he had to eat all the ice cream before it melted because the island was failing, so there was urgency.
That's right. That's right. And he got so disappointed.
Very
and
sad.
Then, and then Newman, you know, got killed by a small dinosaur.
Mm. Wayne Knight, yes.
Yeah. Wayne
The great Wayne Knight.
Fantastic.
It was basically Newman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was right? Newman.
He was Newman also in Basic Instinct yes. when she uncrossed her legs.
Yes.
Hello, Newman.
I'm trying to get as many dinosaur sounds as I can on my computer right now, and I can't seem to find them. But
I thought what you pulled was pretty damn
excellent.
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn
well,
good.
The problem is my source for so many things is YouTube,
yeah.
and YouTube loves to have the narrator. For example, if you get, like, say, hockey fights and you go to YouTube, mm-hmm. you're not going to get hockey fights. You're going to get a real rocking soundtrack with hockey fights. I don't want anything.
Or like the Benny Hill soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. God.
I don't want your narration and I don't want your music.
Yakety Sax should be banned. From any, unless
you,
there's
you
a,
have that?
Of
you
course
have
I do.
Is that the name of the
it was by Boots Randolph.
How do you know
what the
all
hell?
Of this?
You just know it. That's
this
what you
is,
do.
This is why he's great, Mike. Even
do you
when
want to
you,
hear
we
Kong
him,
battles
great.
T-Rexes? Let's
yes. Oh, I love Kong. Yeah. Right,
let's see if Kong battles T-Rexes.
When I was little, I called him Putkins.
This is King Kong battling a T-Rex. Let's see what happens.
Wouldn't it be better with this, though?
Now, who's having fun? Who's that? You know, he's doing his thing. You do your show, I'll do mine. There you go.
Oscar right. requested it.
Yeah, okay.
No, but you could have waited until right. he was done with his call.
No, he can't. No, he can't.
No.
He doesn't have the self-discipline.
The OCD.
My sounds are, it's just silly. It's silly.
Yeah, but Mike, listen.
By the way, the new King Kong looks like, I saw the trailer for it, looks like it may be absolutely
finally.
Incredible.
And is it called,
finally.
With Sam Jackson.
Kong Skull Island? It's got some sort of weird fake name.
It looks great.
Because
it looks like it might be fantastic.
Apparently they copyrighted King Kong, but not Kong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not, it's like a copyrighting Coca-Cola, but not Coke. So you could
right.
use Kong, but not King Kong.
Yeah, it looks spectacular.
I love it.
Because, you know, the CGI just gets better and better, and it looks like it could be incredible. So, check it out in theaters near you real soon. It's got Sam Jackson, so that could be
Mike,
fun.
Speaking of entertainment, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that there's been a pretty big hullabaloo on the Omero show, the regular Omero show, about the Omero cast.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And if you're keeping score at home for years...
Are you setting the show up?
Yes,
again?
I am.
Okay.
Because you're in the middle of a migraine and you're wearing sunglasses, so I'm trying to help you out.
I was just looking for more. So we're done talking about sound effects?
Well, I figured that we had run its course and time is running out.
Okay.
And right. And this demo.
I didn't realize time was running
this
out.
This demo is 40 minutes
was,
long. This
know,
demo is 40 minutes long. We've got so many topics
Rob,
to get
You
to.
Know when I tell Rob like not to go to the music
yes.
Before? Yeah, don't do that. Thank you. Thank you very much, really. I mean, I respect you more than anything else, but don't run my show. It's terrible.
You know what, Mike?
It's your show. As long as I'm here doing a
Mike,
show,
Mike, you're right.
I'll set the
it's
table.
Your show.
God bless you.
Set the table, but God, yeah. We're starving. Please.
No,
I'm fine over here.
You're never starving when I'm in this chair, pal.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you might starve on some of your other shows, but you'll never starve with me sitting here.
I think,
as God is a witness.
I think
witness,
the metaphor has been misconstrued.
You're doing just fine.
I think the starvation comes from a man named Mac McIntosh.
Everything's going to be A-OK.
He's the pharaoh of famine right there.
The pharaoh of famine.
Yeah, he comes in and shovels all the food down the garbage disposal.
I should explain, for those of you that may be watching
this on video. We should probably mention that.
that I am wearing sunglasses.
Yes,
because
you are.
At the end, we taped two shows on Thursday, and at the end of the first show, right towards the end, I got a migraine. And the way my migraine happens is, you should probably know this for my coworkers. When I'm reading copy and I get a migraine, I get the same thing you would get with a flashbulb if your eye is too close to it. And you see that blindness that you get.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I am reading like my last three news stories, and I've got this in my eye. Ugh. It's literally going across my field of vision. Mm-hmm. And the toughest thing about dealing with that, I take drugs for migraines now. I've got a brand new one that I'm taking, and it seems to work. It seems to work A-okay. But the blind spot is the most stressful part of it, and you do get a sensitivity to light. But I hate this. I hate wearing sunglasses.
I love looking up and seeing you
incarnation of the
doing
show.
Your show with sunglasses.
Because I'm looking in the upper right-hand corner at me. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, you are the sunshine of my life. It's not.
There's
fun.
A lot of DJs that wear sunglasses while they broadcast.
Yes,
Howard wore them for
without
years. I don't know
migraines.
If Howard still wears them.
You know. And you occasionally used to wear them in the heyday when you didn't have a migraine.
I really
douchiest move of all douchiest moves in my eyes, especially if you're in the room with someone and they're broadcasting with sunglasses, and you're like, dude, we're in a sunless room. WTF.
You know, I was called on it by Geronimo. He called me on...
I didn't know you used to do this.
Yeah, I would occasionally put them on, and I think maybe once or twice I did it because of a migraine, but
that's understandable.
I would also do it just to do it if I forget one time. And, you know, I wasn't allowed. That was basically the way.
Well, what I remember as someone who was interning at the point, it wasn't the fact that you wore them, it was the fact that you continually left them behind. Mm-hmm. You were a sunglasses leave-behinder of... Great reputation.
I can actually tell you the name of the airline. This is how old I am. Where
yes.
I remembered leaving sunglasses in the back seat of a Piedmont Airlines.
Piedmont.
Jet.
Did they even have sun back then?
It was actually painful for me because it was the first really nice pair of sunglasses. And then my brother-in-law, Paul, I remember I gave him a pair of sunglasses for a birthday.
Right.
And 40 years later, I said, what are those? Those are the glasses you gave me, like without a scratch on them and everything.
Oh, my God, really?
Oh, some people are good about stuff
like
that.
I've seen you go through three pairs of sunglasses in one four-day trip.
I know.
I have had the same pair of sunglasses, and I'm actually proud of this because I used to lose them all the time.
You should be. You should be.
7 years running. 7 years. Now, there have been some close calls. Don't get me wrong.
What was the closest and most thrilling call?
Probably in Phoenix, hammered, and then went back to the bar, and they had him in the lost and found.
Mm. But you had the presence of mind, even in your inebriated state, to go back to the bar and remember
day,
your sunglasses.
Same day.
You have to understand, that is a personality trait. If you have that personality trait, I would crave that. I would love to be more. Look, some people can cop out and say, well, I just don't care about material possessions. No, it's a question of being responsible and having responsibility and, you know, and paying attention and taking care of your stuff. Look, you cannot care about stuff. That's if somebody, like, takes a car out and happens to get into a fender bender and you melt down. That's
right.
Bad. But you can be, I don't care about that, but also be responsible about your stuff. But then it can go very easily over to the dark side,
which
is the guy that's sitting out there with like a handkerchief, scrubbing the little wax particles off of his car on a Saturday for 6 hours. That to me is a little excessive.
And that's also, when does it turn into hoarding? Because someone called me on a pair of sunglasses.
Hoarding is sloppy. Hoarding is just not caring. You're not. Most hoarders, and I've watched the reality shows.
Sure.
They're not fastidious about their stuff.
Something's going on.
They just pile everything up and put it away.
Yeah. What I don't get are the people that stack magazines and newspapers. That's the one thing I don't get. I just don't understand it.
That's part of the hoarding thing. But, you can't have anybody that's meticulous or fastidious that's a hoarder because, they break into the house when they get their stuff and they've been pooping like into a bucket.
And there are rats everywhere, like nests.
Oh, don't care for rats or vermin of any sort.
The newspaper and magazine collecting, I think if you should probably have stopped doing that in 1990 because everything just went digital and
should get texture.
And but also the volume of those of the prints, they were through the roof
Right.
In the magazine heyday, right?
Sure, sure.
And then, so they weren't worth as much as you thought they would. And two, there hasn't been a Hoarders episode that I've watched. I've watched plenty that hasn't had like an old stack of newspapers.
Yeah, they all
it's
love
so,
it.
In the corner.
I get so pissed off, though. There's not, you know, I fancy myself as somewhat of an empathetic person where mm-hmm. you can look at a person with some sort of disorder and you can empathize. I have so much trouble doing that with Hoarders when you see the people, because you know what? I can't get out of my own mind that ultimately these people are just pigs.
Yeah,
I
agree.
To feel like
and you know
that,
what? I empathize with the other. I empathize with the 600-pound life people. I say, you know what? You've had a several missteps. Life has dealt
you
a dirty
that show.
You really do empathize with those.
I sometimes
well, I
guess
you, yeah. You feel sorry for them.
That's well, just, I say there, but for the grace of God.
No, I remember the late Hambone.
Yes,
when we couldn't well, get him to answer the phone, and it was ringing and ringing and ringing, and then it was well, under him.
Yes, well, we that called his father, as you recalled, yeah. Soupbone. Who right. came next door to rescue him.
I'll do anything for food.
That's frustrating. All right. Oscar, are you ready to get to your thing you want to get to now? Are you
Mike, it's your show. I'll let you drive.
And
you.
We God still have to start the program.
Good answer.
There's lots of things on the Comedy Buffet, including the show open.
The show open.
See, we don't have to play the show open now. Like, who says we have to do that?
Because he's a hoarder that way.
This I mean, is my 600-pound show
we're 30
open.
30 minutes in.
That didn't make any sense. But why don't we play the... you know what? You guys decide. I got a microphone.
What do you think, Oscar?
Actually,
That's my joke.
Oh, I thought we were really going to decide. It's his show. No. It's his show. No. It's his show. No,
we do a little
Jesus.
Opening. We never have a formal opening to the bonus show.
Yeah,
we
but now, no. that, now that right. it's Left your show, gone. Mike, you can decide. There's been many a show where I've sat here and said, we've done 40 minutes of the show, and now we're going to play
Why
the show
play
open.
A formal opening, is that right?
Exactly.
40 minutes in, there should be a hard deck. If we don't do it, just tack it on the front.
There's some times that we don't run the open. This is true. The man
Let's
speaks truth.
Let me do this.
All right.
I'm going to place
Look, it's like doing two shows, then like putting it in just to put it in.
Let's play half of it.
Cody had a great idea.
This is the T-Rex biting at King Kong.
Oh, cool.
Oh, he just smashed its head.
Mike, you actually... I hate when YouTube mislabels a clip. That is not T-Rex versus King Kong. That is date night at Rob Ford's apartment.
There it is. And do you want to start the show? Or
that's your call. We can go any way you like.
Well, now I feel like I yelled at Oscar because of the, you know, he wanted to move the show in a different direction.
Well, I knew it was going to be trouble right away because he started out with his
now
drill.
Now I'm feeling guilty, but I am in a depleted condition.
Feel
so
no
I'm,
guilt.
You know,
feel
I
no
was
guilt.
Trying to step in,
and
I can help out.
I don't
out.
Feel that guilty, but Good. I. But at the same time, let's put it on the floor. So when we do a bonus show, we kind of flap our gums. Sometimes it
sure.
can go 35 minutes. It really
yes.
can.
Yeah.
We have actually gone on a tangent that goes 35 minutes. We are now technically 22 minutes into the bonus
yes.
hour. And we have not played the opening.
Let me offer this.
This is the dumbest
Pony
show.
Pony did say play half.
Let me offer this.
Opening.
I don't like when Pony talks. So let me offer this.
The opening yeah. is that what he said play half. Yeah.
What we should do is go to our best version of a disinterested outsider. Why not let Maddie choose if we should run the show open and if we should when
don't
we should run
choose,
it.
Don't let her choose, but get her opinion.
Yes,
all right.
Maddie from
I would love for you to
America's
opine
youth.
If you could.
I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to go with no. That's
She's
the millennial
go no.
opinion.
I would lean towards I love it. I know you love it, Rob, but perhaps we compromise and I write on the fly a new show open.
I
oh,
right?
that, a live
that.
Show open.
And technically, I'm really just setting you up to play the show. But I'll do it like this. You are the sunshine of my life.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Housekeeping?
I don't think you're sleeping.
Housekeeping?
Could you come back in an hour?
Housekeeping, you want towel?
More towels. Need sleepy.
Housekeeping, you want men for pillow?
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
Oh, it's you.
Good morning, sunshine. Hey, guess what? I just called Autotech and they decided to make an order.
So according to my calculations, that puts us over the mark.
We did it?
We did it.
Yes! Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Yikes.
Don't run away from your feelings.
Richard, what were you doing?
Going over some documents.
Where are they? Geez, I don't see them.
They're in my briefcase.
Richard, were you watching Spanked Revision?
Okay, then, let's hit it.
Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
All right, then, let's get some shut-eye.
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Good for her.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Couldn't tell you.
Richard, who's your favorite little rascal? Alfalfa? Or is it Spanky? Sinner.
It's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Mike O'Mara, awesome. Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
If David Spade and Chris Farley, if Chris Farley had still been lived, around, if he'd lived, would it be A, they would have made like 1,000 movies, or B, they would have had like 3 more, they would have gotten badly reviewed, and they never would have made any others?
Well, I think it would have followed the Sandler route. They would continue to make them as long as there was a dollar of profit.
But unlike Adam Sandler, I would really have trouble missing a Chris
Farley. I would too. And you know what?
Yeah, I think they'd be good.
I don't know if I've ever told you. I've told this to Oscar. If you read David Spade's book,
yes,
he is so grounded and so funny in real life that I really think there could have been a future for them as a comedy team. He also has some very tragic stories about the way that Chris Farley spun out and almost made him uncontrollable. Spade seems to be like a pretty good guy.
Also made a fortune. The type of guy that you don't realize that
Spade did.
He's got. He was on Leno's car show.
Yeah, yeah.
He has 10 cars. One of them he just purchased at Barrett Jackson for over $1 million.
Like Maseratis and stuff
like exotics.
And his sister is Kate Spade, who made a fortune in handbags.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes from really good stock.
Well, those movies were, don't get me wrong, they were not tour de force.
No, no.
But there was a funniness between
them. For my generation, Mike, that's all we did.
Yeah.
Quote that movie. Quote that movie.
I go back and look at Tommy Boy.
Black Sheep.
Black Sheep was great.
They're like, such bad movies, but they're funny bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're funny bad, and I like that. I still go back and look at Something About Mary and say, that Ben Stiller, why didn't you just make more of those stupid, silly movies?
Because he wanted desperately to be a sex symbol.
Yeah.
He did. He did. And he did the whole, he kind of went the Piscopo route.
Can't get abs.
Oh, but he made it, but he cashed all the checks for Night in the Museum. How many are there? There's 3 of those.
Yeah.
And those are all big kids movies. So, I mean,
comedies are weird. Comedies
are weird.
They are very, very rare that you get one that's great. They seem now to be in a pattern.
I hear Split is very funny.
I sound like my father now. Where it's just how filthy they can be. The thing about it is you can be, well, like, what's the one with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey? Is it Sisters?
It was Sisters.
I saw Sisters.
It was so gross. It was so gross. And you can't be gross and not be funny. You can be gross. If you're gross and funny, it was fantastic. You see the frisium hanging off of Ben Stiller's ear in Something About Mary, and I'm on the goddamn floor laughing at that. But, you know, I don't know.
What got close to being very funny, and it's the first 20 minutes or so were very funny, is Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer movie.
Yes.
And then it went in a weird direction where it almost turned into like a rom-com.
Let's talk about stand-up for just a second.
Okay.
Because I think Trainwreck applies to this, too. And I've seen Amy Schumer's stand-up,
a brief
part of it. The thing about it is you get comedians.
Didn't you go to a concert?
Yeah, I went to down here. She was down here, and I didn't stay for the whole thing.
Oh, you left?
I left. Yeah, I split. I thought she sucked.
Oh, my God.
No, really? She wanted to talk about being fat and getting laid, and it grossed me out. And I was like, okay.
If you want that, call me.
No, the thing about comedians, I love. You know what? You got to look at my favorite comedians of all time.
Okay.
You look at two of them. Okay, I'll give you two. One dead, one alive.
Can I guess?
Dead. George Carlin.
Okay, I would have gotten that. And can I guess
all time.
The live?
Yeah.
Chris Rock?
Patton Oswalt.
Patton. Okay. Okay. My bad. I'm sorry.
Patton Oswalt does not talk about getting laid. Talking about getting laid is a variant on a fart joke. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is a bodily function. Yeah. It's okay. You can be self-deprecating. Then it just gets into that. Okay. Okay. You know.
And enough already, right?
And that's the way I feel about Amy Schumer. But I want to get to the male side of it. Haven't we all seen, Oscar, you were talking about just the other day that
yes.
you go to a lot of stand-up
yes.
shows.
Mostly horrible, yeah. but I like seeing like the some jokes work and some that don't work, right? Especially living in the city, you get these guys just come up all the time.
Is it as much fun to see a save as it is
yes.
to see a joke
Let
work?
Let me ask yes. the question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a line of demarcation between the guy that's working some good material mm-hmm. and the guy that's, well, he's trying to be funny, but he's also trying to be the guy that wants to get laid at the same time.
Yes.
The cool guy.
You
yes.
know what I'm talking about, the cool guy.
Yeah.
And I hate that. You see the guys that are trying to do...
Dane Cook.
Dane yes. Cook is a great example of somebody mm-hmm. that kind of, in his early career, did that.
I saw
just
Dane
get bored by that.
At, oh, God, Constitution Hall.
He likes Dane Cook.
Yeah, I saw Dane There's at nothing Constitution like a Dane. Hall after 4 years. Yeah, this is the first... like his comeback, right? Because he was off the grid and he made bad
movies.
That
was your disorder, by the way, when you said there is nothing like a Dane.
You're right. I'm sorry about that,
That's
Mike.
Like a reference to what? A 50s musical?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's from South Pacific. One yeah. of our favorites.
Okay.
Let's see if that's charting.
That's why I know it, but there are three people in the audience. So gotta get that under control. You know, we're going to start sending you to a shrink. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I wanted to hate Dane Cook. And South Pacific, but his performance was so overwhelming.
Yes.
No. He
Talkie talk.
I remember. He killed. He killed on stage.
Right.
And that size of a venue is big.
Yeah.
Let's take Dane Cook out of the equation.
Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about the comedians you see.
There
somewhere.
Are some guys that are like in their 30s that are good looking and they're trying to be self-deprecating on how
they're not
great in bed. And I'm like, I'm sure you've got the Red October in your pants, and you can go all night.
But they're doing. Here's the thing. This is. I'm so glad you brought up self-deprecating because the guys that do it, and they can be good looking or bad looking, but the guys that do it are not really self-deprecating.
Yeah, okay? I get it. There is
really,
humble
you know
brag.
What real
it's
self-deprecating.
It's a humble brag.
You came in, bared your soul, talked about smashing audio and video equipment, and you were a raw nerd.
That was
embarrassing, I know how
actually.
Down you were.
Yes.
That's self-deprecating.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Me talking about being abandoned in Bermuda by my date because I was such a douche, that's self-deprecating.
Yes.
Self-deprecating is not saying, you know, I'm trying to think of a great example of it. A stand-up comedian that would be there and say, you know, I'm always hungry after I have sex. You know,
right.
My girls don't like it. You know, it's like, oh, shut up.
But
you're
do you not,
not
like hearing about
there.
Sex from any standpoint in comedy? Because I
love
it. Lisa Lampanelli.
Sarah Silverman would be a beautiful
yes.
example.
Lisa Lampanelli would talk yes. about sex when she was before this was before her surgery, and she would slay me. But I think you guys hated that.
Lisa Lampanelli was someone who was so one note with her performance, and when she brought out. The guy, and she just continuously
yeah.
talked about how she likes to bang him. I'm going back. I hate to keep referencing you, but I will go back
okay.
to you and Chad when I heard your show, and you were talking about low libido.
Yes.
And I said, you know what that is? You know why I'm laughing at that? Because that is so wonderfully honest
and real.
True.
You yeah. never hear any. It's like, here's your trite, typical stand-up. Yeah, my wife, man, she'll never give it up. I tap her on the shoulder. You know, I'd like to have sex 20 times a day, but she won't. No, the truth is, the funny is that men have that low thing,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yes, are there men out there that are like rabbits?
Killing it, left and
I'm
right.
I'm very suspicious. And I'll bring this up. Are you not suspicious of men? This is not stand-up comedians. We'll talk about all guys.
All guys.
All guys that say, man, I cannot, you know, my wife never wants to give it up. I could do it 750 times a day. I'd like that. No, I don't doubt that a guy might want to duck into a room.
Yeah.
Those guys but, you know, I tend to not be friends with for a long time.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, I slowly
I've never
extricate those.
It.
I don't have any friend that, like, is like, man. You know what my friends talk about, including the guys on Big O and Dukes?
What?
Is, man. We could probably go without sex for the rest of our lives.
and And you know what? You would never hear that in the room. Are you kidding me? I could never.
But also, when you see someone
fall into category.
Well, you know? When you see the person that goes so far in the other direction that I could do it 70, 80 times a day, it's almost like they're covering something or they're.
Yeah.
They're trying to.
Inadequacy there that they're trying to cover up. Let me.
Sleight of hand, if you will.
I will give it to you, my libido, my Irish libido, and I think I'm like a lot of Irishmen. I will put it in a nutshell, okay? And you know.
Well, that might be the problem.
Stop it. I am. There you go. There you go.
You slayed Maddie.
Thank you. You did it. God, I could kill you. This is it for me. And I think some people like me, who knows? I'm married to a goddess. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, as far as there's nothing. I don't have to do anything fantasy wise. She's a supermodel. She's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. The way my clock works is that I will go long periods of time where I'm like, like that. But then when that time comes, I'm seriously like somebody that ought to be in prison because I'm tapping on the shoulder. I'm not talking about like continuously. I'm saying when the time comes, sometimes I get to the point of really wanting to fall on my knees and go. And then after that, I think many women will be kind of recalling the experience and would want something to say the next night. And
quarter.
Yeah, there was a quote, Kelly Ripa, there was a video out where she was talking about how when they have sex, Mark Consuelos and Kelly Ripa, that he's mean.
Oh, I actually have that afterwards. Clip if you want to hear it.
This is what she said. And this is kind of honest.
Yeah.
This is kind of honest. This is interesting. And she does it in that Kathy Lee kind of way.
Yeah, but I also thought that, you know, she did present it in whatever the female equivalent of being a dick is. Because she's in her home turf. She's on her show, and he's filling in. But anyway, here's the clip. I believe this is from yesterday morning.
When there's, like, special married couple time in our house, do you know what I'm talking about? Because there's kids watching, so I'm just going to say, let's call it special grown-up time. He's immediately mean to me afterwards, and I don't like that. I think it's, like, his yard.
That's funny.
He becomes, short with me. You know what I mean? Like irritated. And I'm like, you're irritated? Oh, you were so loving 3 minutes ago.
That's true. It's the difference between the man and the woman.
It is.
We have had sexperts on my show for years and years and years. There are a couple of things that are truths that I've heard from multiple sexual experts.
Yes.
One of the truths is that when a woman claims to have an orgasm, that quite often it may not be true. That
they are making
you feel good as the man. Yep. And I heard it from multiple sources. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that when a man has that moment afterwards.
That's true.
Ah! Oh, boy.
Oh! Oh, you bitch. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
She picks her moments, doesn't she?
That was the burn of 2017. I don't know if we can surpass that.
She was out there working out.
And she's like, huh?
God bless her. The other thing is the man, when the man is done, the man is done. There's not a desire for cuddling or what. And if you get a guy that does that, he's faking it, he's lying. That's it.
Now, cuddling.
And when she talks about the being mean part, I do believe that is almost like, that is something in your wiring. It's like to move on. We're done here.
The thing with me in our relationship afterwards, immediately afterwards, I'm the recipient of a little mean sometimes. It's like, okay, you had your fun. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Get back to being the douchebag that you are and move on. With another thing, now here's where I don't
cuddle, Mike. That's gross.
This is no, I don't want to cuddle. No, I'm talking about.
She's mean to you?
Like the in the hours or days afterwards.
Oh, like, she's like, I shut up. Look, I paid my taxes.
Yeah,
yes, that,
leave me alone.
Get away from me.
See, but that's
the way.
That's why men are different, because I know that after every show, Oscar and I cuddle.
Now I've been here's the thing. I'm glad you cuddle. This is what I want to throw out there, Oscar. You've talked about it multiple times. Rob, we've talked about it on this show. Here's the question I have, and this is all for you guys. How much of that, the guys that go, man, I can't get enough, and I can't do it, how much of that do you think is bluster bullshit when a guy is talking about how insatiable? I realize everybody's different, but I'm just curious in general.
May I answer briefly?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel the same way when girls or like couples, friends of ours, right, talk about it, and I'll just catch it in mid conversation. She's like, he just can't get enough. Like, she's telling the girlfriend.
Right. Mm-hmm. I hear that.
And, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm a broken man, right? So my libido is dead, and God bless Shannon. She'll be fed and clothed the rest of her life, but she's not going to get a lot of sex out of it.
Can I interrupt you there?
Yes.
When you talk about being a broken man and your libido being dead, what do you attribute that? Compulsive masturbation?
My ability, the stress level that I carry on a regular basis. And this is documented. Like, I've seen doctors about this. My stress level is so high that it murders my libido. There is no off switch. There's no off switch.
I can relate.
Right?
Okay. I can relate.
So
I can relate.
That is an issue that will torment me for life. And it'll also, on my end, that when I was younger, I used to hear about like this ED situation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who wouldn't want to have sex? So when I'm in my early 20s, I'm like, why would you want to give that up?
So let me stop. Yes. Let me just explain. Yes. So what you're saying is the no off switch, the anxiety level where you bring that to that situation
that's
where you're thinking never all the time. And by the way, same age group when I was your age, when I was younger than you, same thing. It would affect me dramatically. And it's not necessarily pure sex. It's an intimacy thing where you are just stewing about something. Let me stop for a second.
Yeah.
Rob, stress is something where you really you worry about
this?
Something going on.
Right.
And you're concerned with like the responsibility.
I don't. I guess. Whatever. Okay. I'll look it up later if I get around to it.
Thank you very much.
So as I got older, and look, I don't want to put any pressure on anybody here, but probably from the time you're 30 to 50, that is your like prime time earning potential, like for life, right?
Yes.
And those are facts.
That's right, Matt. Right.
And I'm behind the eight ball as far as that is concerned in my eyes. And that's what
you're constantly thinking about.
I am constantly thinking about it. And I've got maybe 10 years left in like this sweet spot of life, right? And
the sweet spot of life.
Earning potential wise. And that really haunts me, and I worry about that all the time.
And it affects your libido.
My personal life, and it affects my libido.
But also, to add to that, is if you are a more open person and you're, take a wife and have children before you're 40, you get to be 45 years old like myself, and it becomes less practical and less possible to have the intimacy because you are constantly swamped with children and children responsibilities and things like that.
Getting back to the original question, though,
bluster, I think it is.
As far as
men and women,
guys that, like you talk about the couple that go, hey, all the time and stuff like that. There was one couple, they will go, I will not tie them into any people I know.
Right.
They were acquaintances of mine, not even a personal friend.
All right.
But I observed it, and they were, this is what was said, that this person had sex with her husband every day, 7 days a week, every day.
Like the Duggars.
Right. I'm mad. I'm jealous. I don't believe it. I think that.
Yeah, I don't either.
And unfortunately, with this world of online entertainment, adult entertainment at such a high level, I think.
By the way, that's a libido between a man and a woman, especially people in a relationship. There is no question in my mind. I'm not going to go down this whole anti-porn.
No, no.
It sets you up to do horrible things. But I will tell you, it is a sexual relationship killer. It is.
Yeah.
You can access something in the privacy, easy, no responsibility of your own home. It's a deal breaker.
Mike, I've got four subscriptions. I got four.
Oscar, I have to tell you, you can say it's stress, but this is just, here we go, in the therapy couch.
Yes.
I would say that is, if you were to eliminate that as an experiment, go through a two and a half week period and do it, it would be, biological fact.
Would save in those 2 weeks thousands of dollars.
No, I got the holiday Groupon. So
great.
So have you experimented with that? Where you've taken it out of your life?
I've taken, because if I'm being completely transparent, the month of January I took completely off. Right.
Okay.
Now I had
no wonder he was such an asshole.
Well, I was
so
also
irritable. He was so irritable.
But I was also in a space where I was sick. I was tired. It just wasn't like, there was not a part of me that wanted to get involved or tackle that issue.
Right.
But on the other hand, Mike, it's really tough to make that a priority in my life when, realistically speaking, that's not what's going to pay the mortgage.
You're talking about the intimacy level, with your special
someone? The intimacy level of...
You mean the effort that it would take to accelerate that aspect of your relationship?
No. It just, I'm saying, in my eyes, look, Shannon and I, we don't have a torrid sex life, but once in a while it works out, right? The stars align.
That's right. That's why the floors are worn out in this house.
He's fucking honest, man. That's what makes me laugh.
So, in my life, you know, if there's a time like she's knocking on my door and I'm on the effing computer figuring out what the best hotel rate is for New Orleans.
Right.
That's unfortunately the way I'm built. That takes priority. You're knocking at the wrong time.
That is true.
This is the example I wanted to give you. I would say that and this is for all men that engage, which almost all men do, mm-hmm. the self-awareness moments, okay?
Sure.
It seems to me that it's a basic biological fact that if you eliminate that from the deal...
Yes, you'll be in a better space, 100%.
You'll be in a better space now, just for two things. For when you might want to knock on the door yourself or when the situation warrants it.
When the bill comes due. With that.
Yeah, but also there is...
It improves my... It takes so much work. It's one of the main things that helps, I think.
Let's do the efficiency sake, right?
The what?
The efficiency side of the business.
Okay.
Of your relationship. I call it a business. I'm so cold-hearted.
That's right. Sex business, Mike.
I could either...
I don't think you're cold-hearted.
I could carve out... an evening, and
by the way, I should also point out we're not talking about that Omericast audition.
I could carve out an evening of like being a gentleman and taking her out and have small talk, pretend I care about yoga, like all that yada yada yada. I could do that, take up a whole Friday night,
a wasted Friday night,
and then we get a couple rumble tumbles, ground and pounds in the bed. And then that's my Friday's done. Or I could go to...
This is where you go into your own...
RealityKings.com within 5 minutes. Well, urge...
That's the whole thing. There's no commitment. There's no time commitment.
Yeah.
There's no emotional commitment.
Back to the grind.
What I'm saying is...
I'd be single if I had all these...
How do I get so much done?
Yeah, I'm so efficient.
I'm saying this, though. The fact is that if you don't... do that. And I'm not saying eliminate, moderation in all things, including moderation. But the fact is that if you eliminate a little of that, then when the time does come and you say you got the bug, it's healthy for the relationship.
It really
it's
is.
Healthy. You know that.
And if she walked out tomorrow, I would understand because I'm clearly not checking that box, right?
I'm not servicing the account.
We stay away from all analogies that involve the word
box? Are
we
doing misogynistic analogies?
I would say that.
Maybe just a touch. Yes.
All right, thank you.
It's tax season, right?
This will be great. Get ready, America. I can't wait for this.
I pay my taxes on a regular basis. I overpay, I would say, for what I provide on the other. Is it an equitable relationship? Probably not. But she gets a lot more than I get it. I'll say this: I pay my taxes.
Yes.
But do we have to overpay?
You know what? It depends. It depends, and I think that's what gets me back to the people that are out there, regardless of the fact. You can talk.
I'm not getting refunds, Mike.
You're stressed. Oh, you're stressed about it.
And watch out for the withholding.
And I don't know what this says about me. There's nothing really that annoys me more than the man or the couple that talk about how hot to trot they are.
It's bragging. How fast your car drives or how many bathrooms your house has. You're calling attention to something that is very surface to a relationship.
And if your spouse knows you're a broken man and she gets it, then that's even better. We've communicated. Shannon knows, like, there's a few bolts loose, right?
Frankenstein?
No, but I'm just saying the frantic pace that I live my life at, that has an upside and that has a downside. But the upside is so much better, right?
My wife, when I have a lower libido, my wife looks at me and probably considers it somewhat of a bonus. Look at me. I mean, she's probably grateful. Probably grateful for that. But there are times where...
What Mike has done is he's gone from being a situation comedy to a miniseries. And well, it's just and on occasionally.
Is, but when it's time, I behave somewhat like a, you know, in a, I kind of get pretty ramped up about it.
Yeah.
And I'm still rejected occasionally, but I'm, but, and then the disappointment is crushing.
It's, yeah, it is. Quite it's
crushing,
true.
You know, and then I'm not as responsive when it's the shoe's on the other foot. Never am I that the responsive, but if I forego other activity, then I can be. And there are, by the way, there are also, and I'm saying this just as a compliment, trying to be respectful and compliment my bride at the same time. There are just the way she is and the way she looks. It's not very difficult for her to put me in that frame of
certainly
mind.
Certainly not.
She basically can walk across the room, say, good morning. I'm like, wee, like that. But with that said, I still don't. I hate the people that are like, man, I can't tear. I tore that thing up last night. I can't believe that. You know, shut the fuck up, please. You know,
I'll hear the girls talking, and I'm like, that guy's probably unemployed.
And by the way, Pony, stop. This is a little behind the scenes, but don't text me people that we used to work with. We don't need to talk about anyone.
Pony, I have to know. Please.
Oh, you know.
Of you know course. Who it is.
I think you know who it is. As a matter of fact, that's a Frankenstein
I've
monster
this news.
You help create.
I have to read it.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Wait, I didn't see it, but I'm trying to. Someone send it to me. Please.
Those people that have a high level of intimacy. I'm going to say bar none.
Look at how both of them don't want to do it.
No,
look at my passive friends. They're desperately afraid to
Jeez,
do it.
Move on. So
I know.
They, I think if you have a high level of intimacy, you probably have one of the healthiest relationships that you can possibly have. That's 100% true, right?
Yeah.
I, unfortunately, am not built
I didn't know.
That way.
Really?
I'm just not.
Yeah, I know, but... Yes, and see, you are capable of admiring people that if you have that in your life, that's spectacular. Mm-hmm. But I also think when you're talking about marriage and companionship, there are certainly, as anyone will tell you, there are multiple layers of this, and it's important to have it. But it's also important that, you know, it's a lot of other stuff, as you know.
Oh,
Rob,
it is one. I mean,
other stuff.
I've been married 20 plus years now, mm-hmm. and it still remains an important part of the relationship. Yeah, but there is a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, but you guys are in love, like to a level that I've never seen. I remember even years ago when you like sex Skyped with your wife, and I said, man, this guy really loves
his
wife.
I'm very fond of her.
That's wild.
It is. But I mean, it is not the only thing that the relationship is built on, is what I'm saying.
No,
but it's part of it.
And that's the point. And that's the point. There are a million other things that it's built on.
And if people come out and they're screaming that, you know, we knocked the bottom out last night and it was 7 and 15 times, I don't either. Because it is, as time goes on, I think that it is the intimacy, the sexual intimacy, is actually the gateway to better communication and the friendship. And that those parts... Mm-hmm. are the majority of the
That's
relationship.
That's a solid foundation.
But if you don't have that groundwork, if you don't have the key to that door, you're looking for trouble.
Yeah, but
which is why you
of,
need to you
at
need
the
to
beginning
work at
of every relationship, right? Because I've had this probably screw loose forever. All I've done is, I mean, you go through...
1940s terminology. I got a screw loose.
You've got... at every event, it's like, it's new, so you're happy, you're in love.
Newlywed.
I don't know what outfit you're from.
Yeah. And... like eventually when all that wears up off and it's essentially curtains for that passion, right?
1940s.
it just becomes like, okay, now we're in this together. It's back to survival time.
Well, you also have, I remember in the words of the great philosopher, Kurt Russell, who was talking about, I think he was talking about like Goldie Hawn.
Sure.
And him, and they had an open kind of relationship, and they were talking about the fact that it's kind of a biological predisposition that the male of the species is kind of, you know, let's not run down the hill, walk down the hill and do all of them but we evolve as human beings, and you get away from that. At the same time, I think that you, when you hear the people that are going on and on with that, it might be true. But it's like, shut the fuck up, because I think there are a lot of people. There's probably a normal curve with everybody. And getting back to the comedians, when I see a comedian up on stage that is trying to be cute or trying to be, I'm super sweet. You know, here's a great example of the polar opposite of that. Louis C.K.
Yeah.
There's not a breath that Louis C.K. takes when he's writing his material where he's saying, I'm going to get laid. Yeah. By the way, he could get laid 50 times a night.
One of the greatest routines.
Because he's so goddamn funny. But he never thinks about that. One
of the best routines I ever heard him do, and I remember my jaw dropping open, when he talked about getting older and needing to use glasses to look at porn to jerk off. Because he's at that point in his life where he's getting older. And I said, oh, my God, that is so real.
A bad comedian who will be up there who will go nameless because we don't know him, but we've seen them where they're talking about, hey, women say this, women do this, women do this. You know, and it's trite and it's like, and he's talking about having sex and all that. And it's not funny.
You're bragging. What did Amy Schumer do that turned you off? Was she bragging?
There are multiple comedians that have done this, and what they do is they're talking about their sexual activity such a way that it's not funny and it's not doing anything to make it's
just,
not self-deprecating.
Yeah.
It's because they're trying. The goal is not to be funny. The goal is to get laid after the show. Mm-hmm. That's the way I perceive it when I see that. And I hate it.
But you got the last laugh because Amy Schumer wanted to get laid and you left.
Here's a great, you want to know, and I can't point to specific material,
right,
but I will tell you, you know, a great example.
What?
Joe Piscopo.
Oh, my God.
Joe Piscopo's horrible stand-up, mocked by Opie and Anthony in what I consider
mercilessly,
to be
yeah.
one of the greatest, brilliant, ball-busting jobs I have ever heard, was when they played clips of Joe Piscopo. But Joe Piscopo he didn't get it. He didn't get that your job is to be up there and just crack people up at the sake of embarrassing yourself.
No, you're too busy bodybuilding.
You're too busy building your body up to be a super stud on stage. It's fine to be in shape, but you better goddamn well be funny.
Yeah,
people don't necessarily want to laugh
like
at a bodybuilder.
It's weird, even
unless it's
Arnold
Schwarzenegger and he's trying to be serious.
Yeah,
that Carrot Top has 8 abs. Like,
right.
It just bothers me.
It's bad because it's not natural.
No.
You're not supposed to laugh at the guy. Can you be funny and be in shape? Of course. It's stupid to say the opposite. But what people want to laugh at is kind of a schlubby. That's been the tradition.
Someone they could see themselves and they're like, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I get it.
Well, I mean, they've gotten away from it on television, but if you look at classic television, the great comedies of all time, they cast funny-looking people.
Yeah, funny-looking people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't happen anymore. Look at Friends. They're all very good-looking.
They were pretty people.
Fat Chandler, I mean.
Oh, but no, anorexic Chandler was so much funnier.
No, but Fat Chandler, you're like, man.
But you want to see Fat Chandler? Watch The New Odd Couple. It's Fat Chandler all over again. It's fat, pilled up.
What's the show?
The New Odd Couple. It's on, is it CBS Monday nights?
In it?
Yeah, he plays Oscar. What's his name? Matthew
McConaughey. Perry.
Matthew Perry is the producer,
and
he plays Oscar. He's gotten better, but he still gives the impression of a guy that's bloated from too many pills.
You know, Mike, he claims the best seasons of Friends. He does not remember.
Oh, because he was so messed up.
Like two to five, those three seasons, he doesn't remember any of them.
Neither do I.
Can you imagine, though, the pressure? We had a little bit of experience with King of Queens dropping in on some television productions.
On TV, King of Queens.
The pressure of doing that and doing that every single week is pretty significant.
And also,
you realize it's in that national stage.
And the Friends tapings would take... historically, they would go until 2 in the morning because of rewrites and retakes and the fact that they were young and maybe on pills. Who knows? I'm not saying anything. But they had lots of energy to make the show the way it was. I mean, King of Queens, I remember you shot that half-hour episode in about 2 hours.
Yeah,
and it wasn't that bad, but it seemed a long time. But they would take 6 or 7 hours
to do it.
The
long and short of all of this is, to me, if I'm around people and I'm hearing people that are really honest about it, you don't want to be so honest where you're embarrassing your spouse.
You don't want to hurt anybody.
But you also, if you're trying to kiss your spouse's ass and do it at a cocktail party where you're blowing smoke up her ass in front of it to make your relationship better, don't do it on my dime.
No.
I don't want it. And the same thing with stand-up comedians. If you're on a stage, I want you to make every effort to be funny, not to be, I'm the cute, pretty guy trying to get
laid. How about this? Have some self-awareness. If you walk into a room, now you can tell if someone's out of shape, or if you're really friends with someone, you know that maybe their intimacy level of their life isn't as high as yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, if I walk in and I have a friend that gained 30 pounds, I'm not going to say, oh, man, SoulCycle and right. this new app that we use on the show, I'm mm-hmm. murdering it. I've lost 20. I'm not going to start talking about that if
exactly.
clearly the guy that's the sitting there has lost the battle with life.
Yeah.
Know the room. You know what I mean? I sit here, I can tell you this.
Boy, do I.
You do it all the time.
Here. Because it's funny. But in my personal life.
He's saying he's working out. But no, when he's mocking us, he does. That's what we do. By the way, we are one entity, Pony. So that's why we do it to each other. And then it's funny. And it's also why I want my listeners to feel better. And why I have spent the better part of a 30-year career trying to make my body look worse.
Thank you.
So I think that's important. And by the way, listeners, fans, you're welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And Mike, anyway, that word again was stress?
Stress.
How do you spell it?
Stress, Rob.
Two S's.
When you worry about
actually,
something.
Three.
Don't worry, Oscar and I will take care of it.
Okay.
Thanks to my Imitrex for getting me through the show.
You did
by
great.
The way,
nice work.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Did it
by
work?
Bounce
yeah.
back. Bounce back.
Yeah, I'm in.
Then why are you still wearing the sunglasses?
Well, that's why. Okay? That's it. Thanks for joining us for the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour. You never know what direction it's going to go in. Hold on to that O'Mara cast audition. Might want to do that next week.
You got it.
All right. Or maybe tomorrow when we're actually recording another show. I don't know. Have a great time, everybody. For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Ponyboy Matt Bloom, all our interns, thank you. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye. So long, everybody.
Hey, I just wanted to take this time out to say thank you to all the people who purchase our bonus content. The Mike O'Mara Show bonus hours are a little extra something we do for you each and every week. And those that support us by purchasing our bonus show content really make the show fly. Thanks once again for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.